A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company this morning. And also thanks for choosing Unpacking the Day, for joining us on Unpacking the Day at this morning. So today is the 14th of the 10th, the 14th of October, 2025. Today is my wife's birthday. Today is my wife's birthday. Well, happy birthday, my darling. So happy birthday, my darlings, and all the blessings that you may need in your life. So happy birthday to my wife. It's her birthday today, and I wish you a very beautiful day today. So yeah, and then of course we will have something at the end of the day today. All right, so welcome. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day and your daily dose of what is really going on in business, an economy and politics. So every weekday we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, you're welcome. And thanks for joining us here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. So today is the 14th of October. And as usual, we start with our segment of This Day in Africa, on This Day in Africa. So welcome to the segment where we breathe life into history one day at a time. So, the 14th of October, 1975, well, is cited in some sources as the date when the South African Defense Force invaded Angola in support of FNLR and UNITA ahead of the Angolan independence. And in Tanzania, if we move to Tanzania, in Tanzania, Mwalimu Nyerere Day. Today is Mwalimu Nyerere Day, is observed on actually 14th. It's observed today on the 14th of October in memory of Julius Nyerere, who died on this day. All right. And today, the International Day observed on the 14th October is World Standard Day. World Standard Day, it is observed annually to raise awareness among regulators, industry, and consumers about the importance of standardization to the global economy. So this day highlights the role of standards in ensuring quality, safety, and efficiency in products and service worldwide. So today on the 14th of October is World Standards a Day. So, and this is going to be a bonus. It's not really something that happened in Africa. It's not an event that took place in Africa or happened to someone from Africa. But because of what is happening in the Middle East, this is going to be our bonus today on this day in Africa. So in 1994, Nobel Peace Prize is awarded to Yasser Arafat, Yitzhak Rabin, and Shimon Peres. So this trio were awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for their effort in establishing the Oslo Accords, a milestone in the peace process in the Middle East. So the question now is, with the new peace broke in the Middle East by Donald Trump, would he award it Nobel Peace Prize? So there are those who are actually pushing that, and we will see what happens. So welcome, and that's what we had for you on this day in Africa. And today, the 14th of October, our thought for the day is: the snake says that it will arrange its legs when it gets bigger. So the snake says that it will arrange its legs when it gets bigger. So that's when I got bigger, I will arrange my legs, you know. So now the proverb means that an opportunity missed does not come back, especially for the lazy person. So in other words, it warns against procrastination and laziness by illustrating that waiting for the right time or delaying action will lead to missed chances which will not return later. So it encourages taking timely action instead of postponing or hoping things will somehow fall into place on their own. So that's our thought for the day. Whatever decision you make today or choices you made, make sure that, you know, you don't delay those decisions. So make them right away, because chances might not return later. So the snake says that it will arrange its legs when it gets bigger. So that's our thought for the day, and very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, our time is about 10 minutes past the hour of 8. So I will be with you until 10 o'clock. So we had so plenty to discuss about today in the program. So at this point in time, at 8:30, we will have an interview. We will have a guest. We'll talk to somebody at 8:30. That's Dr. Stadler. And we'll talk about oil. And what we ask, what we're looking at in the broader term, is who will win when Namibia's oil start to flow. I hope you have seen that on social medias. That's our discussion today. So make sure that you stay tuned for that, because it's going to be very, very, very interesting. And now, from now until maybe 9:30, there was only about how many, 19 minutes. So we could talk, maybe we can talk about, you know, trade, the Africa continent of free trade. Their first trade flow start to happen. So that's one thing that we can talk about now. And then if we still have time, we can talk about the 79% of government employees surveyed want to keep the payroll deduction management system, which spoken by who? By Shombe yesterday, but we can look at a different angle as well. So someone is knocking on my door, maybe something urgent or emergency. So let's hear him or her. Very good morning.
Morning, sir.
Good morning.
I'm listening to you as you are presenting there, but your radio is too low, hardly to hear you.
Really?
I'm in Windhoek, but hardly to hear you, please.
Okay.
Check on your technical division there. The volume is very low.
All right.
You can put your radio high volume, but it's just low. You can't hear anything.
Okay. All right.
I do not even hear nicely what is the topic here. I can't hear. I wanted to follow you up, but I can't hear.
Okay, so let me alert those in a technical department. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye.
All right, guys. The technical people, the radio is too low. I think on my side, everything is fine. Nothing is actually showing that my bars are very low. Hopefully, is something technically. I hope. Please make sure that you attend to that. Apparently, the radio is too low. The person is just blow up the volume, but still, the volume is very, very low. But on my side, everything is actually perfecto. There's nothing that looks like my volume is quite low. Everything is fine. All right? So, technical, do your magic. You know, do what you normally do. All right. So, yeah, welcome. And he said he didn't hear anything. And I said at 8:30, we will have actually a guest in the studio, not in the studio, but I will actually get in touch, with my guest. And we will talk about who will win when Namibia oil start to flow. It's a very interesting, discussion with Dr. Stadler. So make sure that you stay tuned for that one. So, all right. So thanks for joining us and thanks for choosing Eagle FM, to be in your company at this morning. And we definitely gonna be back after this.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Why are you tired eating the same shandy? You must try the Polana pie, you know, during lunchtime today. So, all right, welcome. So welcome. Good morning, Namibia. You are listening to Unpacking the Day with me, your host, Mike Oshoveli. And before we get to our interview this morning at 8:30, let's talk about something huge for our continent, something that promises to reshape how we do business, the African continent, the free trade area. So that's what we're talking about. What were you imagining? So now think about this. So this is very important, you know. Imagine this massive, a single massive market across Africa with 1.3 billion people. Man, good flowing, freely between countries like ours, Namibia and our neighbors, even across the entire continent. So no more complicated paperwork, no more steep tariff, making things incredibly expensive. It's about unlocking our own continent potentials using what we produce here and selling it to our neighbors. So imagine that. And guess what? It's actually starting to happen. It's actually starting to happen. We have seen reports And this is a story actually in AFCON agency. Econ Finn agency. So we have seen report of countries like Ethiopia sending out their first official Africa Continental Free Trade Air shipments. So there's think meat, fruits, that sort of thing, heading to places like Somalia and Kenya. So even right here at home, not long ago, we had a shipment leave Walvis Bay a little while back, bound for, and I'm not talking about the one went to Nigeria, but also bound for, that one was bound for South Africa and Botswana under this new system. So these are real tangible steps. This is more than just, now it becomes, it's becoming something more tangible rather than just talk. It's not just about, you know, people that something that is being talked about. It's actually trade happening under this new system. So the people behind the Africa Continental Free Trade Area have been working on this for a while. So they have been working on this for a while, trying to get countries ready. So they have got this called the Guided Trade Initiative, GTI. So I'm not talking about the car, the, you know, those Quieto Boys cars, not your GTI. So I'm talking about the Guided Trade Initiative, which is basically, it's like a test run, you know, the Guided Trade Initiative. So they have been working on that. And they are seeing if the whole idea is that they want to see if the custom system, the rule tariff, the rules for tariffs and all the paperwork can handle this new way of trading. So, yeah. And by the look of things or by the look of it, quite a few countries are getting on board. So with many submitting their tariff offers, you know, essentially saying, they are saying now, hey, okay, we're ready to lower these taxes, you know, for African goods. So, yeah, so many few countries really are getting on board and they are submitting their tariff or their tariffs. So even more countries have signed the agreement, and I think only Eritrea are holding out. So, and many have already said, hey, I'm in. Yes, we are in. So, yeah, it's all happening and it sounds really, really promising. So we're also seeing new rules emerging, covering things like how we invest in each other's countries, how we do business online, how to protect our ideas. So, this is even special digital tariff. There's also a special digital tariff book to help everyone now understand the new rules. Okay. So, and if you just go to Africa, just get yourself to the Africa Continental Free Trade Affair, trade areas. And to be able to get some of this information. So now, but you know, this is unpacking. Where, you know, here is where we need to unpack. You know, this a bit more. You know, because while it's exciting, which is really really exciting, yes. A few more dollars might be flowing within Africa, you know, thanks to this. So the reality is a little more bumpy, okay? It's a little bit more bumpy. So let's look at the numbers. I always tell you I love numbers. Eh? So intra-Africa trade, that's trade between, you know, African countries, did actually tick up last year. It went up around 12.4% growth. So, and that sounds great. That really sounds great, because the year before, it's actually dropped. So, and the reasons for the for that growth, for this around 12.4 growth, is not necessarily a direct result of the Africa continental free trade areas. It's not necessary, according to the article, being fully up. It's not the, according to that, this is now being fully up and running. So it's more attributed to general regional exchange and a bit of luck, you know, some kind of like, and a bit of luck, you could say, you know. So, yeah. And the report hope this trend will continue because of the free trade area, but it's not guaranteed. It's not a guaranteed outcome yet. So, and what is the holdup? So, what is the holdup? Why isn't this the instant game changer we might expect? Why? So, and I want you to. Let me put it this way for you, okay? You have got a brilliant product you want to, you know, to sell to your neighbor. But the road getting there, it's full of potholes. Huh? So I'm going to put it in a different way, you know, rather than actually, you know, just tell you why, what is the holdup. Now, imagine, so you have a brilliant product you want to sell to your neighbor, maybe to Angola, just to Angola there. But the road getting there is full of potholes. And the border post takes hours and sometimes days to get there, you know, just to get through. Well, I'm not talking about Angola now. So there are border posts that actually, you know, that happens. Now, imagine also the rules in your neighbor's country. Okay, the rules in your neighbor's country are completely different from yours. Nobody seems to know exactly how to apply the new. What's happening to my computer? Nobody seems to exactly know how to apply the new the Africa continental free trade area rules consistently. So, and that, my friend, and that, my dear listeners, is the reality for many trying to trade under this new agreement. Those are issues that are happening. So we're talking about serious challenges here. Non-tariff barriers. The non-tariff barriers are huge problems. So these are not taxes, but things like, you know, complicated regulations, unnecessary inspections, and just plain old slow bureaucracy that make it incredibly difficult and time consuming for goods to move. So those are some of the really big huge problems that that the countries are facing. So, well, Namibia got fantastic agriculture. We got fantastic agriculture product. Can we easily get them to, say, Angola or Zambia without facing these endless hurdles? Not yet, really. Not as smooth as we want to. So there's still actually, you know, some of those hurdles that we experience. So, and if you can't, so then should I go into that? What is the time? 27 minutes? Yeah, and then there is the physical side, you know. Remember, if there are non-tariff barriers, so there are also physical side. Our roads, our port, our power grids, even our internet access, they are not uniform across the continent. So in some countries, you know, you have the network are completely different, and some work well. Some are still using 2G, and others are now 5G. You see the difference. There is no uniformity across the continent, and And if you can easily and reliably transport goods, the free trade agreement becomes a bit of a just a bit of a dream. So we are still building the highways, you know, both literally and figuratively for this continent market. So, and possibly when we're done with an interview, we may come back to this and just look at this, or we continue with your calling, with you coming through and have your say after the interview, even about this. So, all right. So I'm going to knock on the door of my guests and see what we can bring you this morning. So stay tuned. We definitely will be back in a sec.
Omutiha with the Kirakaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Safa, Nana, Nongishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshuana, E. Moyao, Otaingo Samweni, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangeka, Taithanina, Omeguro, Niranditoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupiramo, Ikelefem Media House, Way 20 PM, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o miyaj. Ikele FM. So hi.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Safa, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshuana, E. Moyao, Otaingo Samweni, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangeka, Taithanina, Omeguro, Niranditoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupiramo, Ikele FM Media House, Way 20 PM, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o ambiyaji. Ikele FM. So hi.
All right, welcome back. And I was able to talk to Dr. Stadler. So we will actually speak to him in 10 minutes. He's driving, and once he gets settled, he said, I must give him just about 10 minutes and then we get back to him. All right. So the train continues. The train is moving. So we will get to Dr. Stadler in a short one. Give him about 10 minutes and then we will get back to him. So we were talking about, you know, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. So in terms of that, there are now tangible reality, tangible trade that are taking place under this new agreement. So we have an example of Ethiopia that, starting to trade for the first time now through this system to a country like Somalia and what is the other one. So, and I said, we have done this now. So for us, are not the newcomers. So, but there were also, as we said, as much as this is a good thing, there are really, bumpers ahead. And we were looking at some non-tariff barriers that we looked at. So we also look at what the physical side, just the physical side. We're talking about the road, our ports, our power grid, even our internet access, so that across the continent, this is not uniform. And those are big challenges that we need to address as individually, to be able to, to have that uniform across the continent. Otherwise, it's definitely, as I said, one is using 2G, others are using 5G. So how does that work? If you can't easily and reliably transport good because of our roads, because of our port, so as I said, the free trade agreement becomes a bit really of just a dream. So yeah, we're still busy So yeah, so while many countries, I mean, talking about African countries in a continent, on a continent, have agreed to lower tariff. They have agreed to lower tariff. Not all of them have sorted out their own tariff schedules. So, or properly set up the system to track where goods are coming from to make sure only African products get these special benefits. So they haven't done that. So this is more like, having a new set of rules for a game, but not everyone has the rule book or knows how to play by it yet. So that's how it sounds like. And there is money. Then there's money side. So the money side, we still, because on the money side, we still actually, we still often rely on trading in dollars and euros, which can be, think about it, which can be really expensive and complicated for, especially for smaller businesses. So if you want to do formally and informally, that can be very, very, very complicated. So there is a plan to use our own Africa currency, the Pan-African Payment and Settlement System. I got it right. Pan-African Payment and Settlement System. But not all countries have actually signed up to that yet. So it's still, something that hasn't been rectified by all countries. So yeah, and imagine, and I don't know why it shouldn't be, every country should be able to rush up and say, hey, let's do this, let's quickly get over this. So imagine being able to pay for good. Let's say you get goods from Ghana and you're just actually using your Namibian dollars. That would be massive. It would be a massive step, because it's going to be cheaper. It's not cheaper, but far cheaper if you have to do it in your own currency, compared to doing it in dollar, trading in dollar and euros. So yeah, these are challenges. And so yes, these initial trade flows are a positive sign. Definitely a positive sign. And they show that Africa is not just a document gathering dust. So it's a concept being put into practice. But we must be clear-eyed. This is just the very first chapter of of a very, 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 very long book. Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah, the success, I think, of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area hinges on our government. All right. You got a fam? Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Tate Michael.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. The issue of the oil, the origin.
Yeah. The issue of the?
Rule of origin.
Yeah, rule of origin, yeah.
I don't know who is behind that concept. Because in the form in which they want to apply it now.
Yeah.
It's the main stumbling block.
Yeah. In what way? In a very simple, not economic way, but in a layman language. In what way?
It's very difficult to implement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very difficult to implement because the percentage or whatever they say, this much must be originate from here. It's just to trace what is not originally from Africa, it's become a very big challenge.
Yeah.
For me, I would have thought of that rule of origin to only apply to a product which is competing with what we can produce.
So even if it's coming from outside?
No.
Yeah.
Product, what we can produce.
Produce, yeah.
We have the capacity, as the African continent has the capacity to produce that product.
Yeah.
Then we can talk of implementing that rule of origin because we are trying to avoid other products to come and compete with what we are producing.
Yeah.
But now you are talking of a rule of origin of a particular, you are following a product, and you as an African don't have the capacity to produce that product.
Yeah, I would love you to come back and maybe expand more. I have a guest waiting that I need to get to now, and then if you want to come back and expand that was at that point as well. So you're most welcome later after this interview. All right.
Okay, Mark. Okay, Mark.
Okay, great. All right. Let's get to our guest, and then probably he's. His home, he's now settled, and then we can have our discussion. So stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Safasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshiwana, E. Moyawo, Otaingo Gotisamani, Anagishifa, Yanamibia, Omitom Banawa, Orangeka, Saitanina, Omeguro, Niranitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupiramo, Ikelefem Media House, Way 20 Pimeneha, Ukakombanga Nina, Kara, Omkashi Pregi, Wimopo, Yomo Programa Letu, Moambo, Lengera. Selma, honora esta tribu. Datunda tu, Jerry Hamanotano, o Amiad. IGLFM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the IGLFM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, a very good morning, Namibia, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day, your favorite, 24-hour talk radio station. So this morning, we are looking at a topic filled with both immense promise and critical questions. Namibia's recent offshore oil discoveries. So we stand at the pivotal moment. A chance to potentially transform our nation and bring widespread prosperity. But with great opportunities comes great responsibility. So will this newfound wealth be a blessing or someone, it could be a curse? So now, to help us unpack all of this, and we are incredibly honored to have with us Dr. John Stadler. Dr. Stadler is the founding member and the MD of R&J Stadler, and he has written a real insightful piece on this very subject that we're going to look at. So we will be discussing today with Dr. Stadler. A warm welcome to Unpacking the Day, Doctor, and very good morning to you.
Good morning to you too.
All right, your article that you have written recently, paint Namibia on the edge of something huge with this oil discovery. So what is the core message you want Namibian to take away from your writing right now as we stand on the brink of this oil era?
So I try to give two messages.
Yeah.
That we should be concerned about what people call the Dutch disease.
Mm.
And we should be concerned about what we people call a curse.
Yeah.
And these are two separate concepts. And I see in the public domain, they are used interchangeably.
Mm.
So maybe first, let me clarify the two concepts.
Yeah.
So when we speak of the Dutch disease, that's more an economic matter.
Yeah.
It's an economic issue that when you have suddenly discoveries of natural resources,
mm.
it can actually undermine other sectors of the economy.
Yeah.
And I want us to speak more about the Dutch disease because I think that's the concern that I wanted to raise.
Mm.
The curse is more about society and how it affects people. And so I'm less concerned about the oil curse because I do believe that Namibia has a credible record of good governance.
Yeah.
But we should also watch that, or that there should we should avoid that curse because it could come. But I personally believe that a curse is lesser of a problem for us.
Yeah.
I think what's my key message is more on what we call the Dutch disease.
Mm.
Because when, and to some extent, I must say, to some extent, we already suffer from the Dutch disease.
Yeah.
Because we are over reliant on natural resources.
Mm.
If you look at our exports, for example, they are mainly natural resources that we export.
Mm.
And we have made very slow progress in developing the manufacturing sector and also the agricultural sector.
Yeah.
Now, if the oil comes, there's a concern that we could actually pay more attention to the oil sector.
Yeah.
And less attention to manufacturing and to agriculture. And agriculture,
mm.
at the stage of our economic development, is very important. That we have to support agricultural activities and agro-processing and manufacturing.
Yeah.
But with the Dutch disease, the way it works, it's actually worked through the exchange rate.
Yeah.
And so people may argue that, okay, but our exchange rate is one-on-one to the South African rand.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a concept, there's a difference between what we call the nominal effective exchange rate and the real effective exchange rate.
Yeah.
And because of our over reliance on
South Africa
on our natural resources.
Oh, okay. Mm.
We have over the years we've actually neglected manufacturing. Our manufacturing is not competitive. Mm. Our agriculture, with the exception of maybe beef and grapes, are not competitive.
What causes that oversight or that over reliance?
So the over reliance is it's because this is where the money is.
Yeah.
And so you have the inflows, and this is where the high paying jobs are.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I mean, if you have the opportunity, or if I have the opportunity to work with Detmarin or to work on a farm.
Yeah.
I will rather work with Detmarin.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
So that's the concern. How do we stimulate agricultural activities? If you look at where we are in our economic trajectory, we should actually pay more attention to stimulating agricultural produce, manufacturing, and here I speak of basic manufacturing because we have to evolve over time.
Mm.
But a lot of the key investments, they go into this high capital intensive industry,
yeah,
and within the industries that are not capital intensive but that are labor intensive,
yeah,
we don't see much investment going into those industries.
Yeah, so the fear now is that because of oil boom, we may the focus, which now the Dutch disease, we may focus more on oil industries and ignore the other sectors that equally important, which also actually the emphasis of the government is also to diversify, you know, our resources. So that's actually the fear.
So yeah, that's the fear. Mm. So one thing is that if you look at progression of societies,
yeah.
So there's sometimes in economic progression, there's a natural progression from primary, secondary, tertiary industries.
Yeah.
So now we actually want to leapfrog, but in the process we may neglect the primary industries.
Yeah.
So that's not wrong. We can actually leapfrog. But you must also consider that if you look at the labor market, so we have an abundance of unskilled labor.
Yeah.
And we have a kind of a scarcity of skilled labor.
Mm.
So now with the oil and the gas and some of the other industries that are coming, they require higher skills.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have people that in the labor force that have not completed 8 years of proper schooling.
Yeah.
And so how are we going to accommodate them? So here is where, for example, other industries are important, like in particular agriculture, tourism, agro-processing, skills that industries that require skills that are available in Namibia. Because I do believe to unlock agricultural productivity, we do have people that can come in there.
Yeah.
We don't have to mechanize immediately.
Mm.
We can go kind of in a way where we mechanize gradually.
Mm.
Hospitality is another key industry. So I think it's a matter of economic planning, how we are going to do it. I also want to just clarify that I do think it's important that we develop the oil and gas industry.
Yeah.
And we also don't have a lot of time to do it because the world is decarbonizing.
Yeah. Mm.
But at the same time, we must look at the realities in Namibia and say that we do have an abundance of labor, unskilled labor, and what are we going to do with it? And also we do have challenges of food security.
Yeah.
We've seen it. We do need to develop manufacturing.
Yeah.
Because manufacturing is where we can absorb more labor. Imagine if you have a textile factory in Namibia. That's just an example. I'm giving it because once we had a textile factory, and there were like 8,000 to 10,000 people employed in a place called Otsimusi in Windhoek.
Yeah.
And you can see how many people were employed. But if you do this capital intensive industries, then you have fewer people that are employed.
Yeah.
So we need to strike that balance.
All right. So now we have some experts that are warning about a bleak outlook if we are not careful. So what makes you optimistic about Namibia's our path? What makes you optimistic about our path?
So here is where I said we have to differentiate between the dust disease, and I spoke a lot about it, and I think we should. When it comes to the dust disease, I'm very concerned about it.
Yeah.
The curse is a different phenomenon. The curse is how it will affect people, society, inequality.
Mm.
So with a curse, if you have this oil money coming in, it can actually fuel corruption, it can fuel bad governance, it can fuel this kind of maybe the oil rots and things that we call.
Mm.
So what made me optimistic is when I look at the governance institutions in Namibia, I do think they are much stronger than countries that have fallen into the curse.
Yeah.
So, and I think our institutions have been tested, and we have seen our institutions are resilient. Our courts are resilient. Property rights are being protected.
Mm.
Sometimes people say, "Well, maybe we should have a model where we can move faster." But you know, when you have institutions that are working, sometimes it works slower, but at the end, it works.
Yeah.
And if you look at the ratings that we have globally on competitiveness, you will find there's always high rating for Namibia on institutions, especially on the judiciary.
Yeah.
So I think our courts are working. The rule of law is working in Namibia. I think maybe there could be improvements in terms of efficiencies.
Yeah.
But generally, I'm optimistic that we are not going to fall into the oil curse.
Yeah.
But just because of that, or maybe let me say, because of that, we should actually be careful that if the oil comes, that our institutions are not being undermined.
Mm.
That the oil doesn't benefit an elite group.
Yeah.
That the oil group benefits the nation. So here I'm glad, for example, that our current president has taken the oil and gas into the office of the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And so that should send a signal that we are not going to tolerate corruption. We are not going to tolerate certain things that happened. I'm also in the article, I also said I'm also very happy that we've created a sovereign wealth fund. And I do believe that the intention is that all the resources that we have in Namibia, a portion of it must go into the sovereign wealth fund, and it has started to happen, so that so that future generations can also benefit from this resource. So on the curse side, I'm having a much kind of more optimistic view.
Yeah.
On the side of the Dutch disease, I think there we have to drill in deeper, because I will actually argue that we already suffer from the Dutch disease.
Yeah.
Because we've been trying for 35 years now to diversify the economy.
Mm.
And when you look at diversification, you need to look at the contribution of different sectors to the economy, primary, secondary, tertiary sector. And you find over the 35 years, we've been stagnant.
Yeah.
We still rely more on the primary industries. And one of the reasons for it is that every time when maybe we discover a new mine gets open, and then that contribution of mining to GDP increases. So we have to be much more intentional in unlocking opportunities in the manufacturing sector and in the agricultural sector. And in agriculture, the focus for me should be more on the agro-processing. But before we can come to agro-processing, we have to increase the productivity on farmlands. It will be difficult for Meatco or Savannah or Beefco to produce more polonies if we don't have more cattle. And we can't have more cattle if we don't have grazing. We have invader bush that we can treat, and that can increase more opportunities for cattle, for example. I think we must be a bit more intentional in unlocking the opportunities in the agricultural value chain that will feed into the manufacturing value chain. And the same also with some of the other natural resources that we have.
The other thing, weak institution and governance gap lead to OPEB deals. That's what you said in your article. How can we spot those early on? How do we spot that early on?
We need to have early warning signals and mechanisms. So sometimes we have whistleblowers. So we should also take whistleblowing a bit more serious.
We should not
wait until we say, okay, there is now evidence, we can proceed. So we need to strengthen the efficiency. We need to protect the whistleblowers. I know that we have a Whistleblowers Act, but sometimes people are afraid to blow the whistle because they can be stigmatized. At the same time, we must also take cognizance of the fact that the whistle can be blown. Referees can be biased. So I think we just need to strengthen that element, that there must be confidence in the system. If I, for example, I'm suspicious or you are suspicious of something, will I have the confidence to go out take that risk that something could happen? But at the same time, some people, they have maybe nothing to lose, or they have other intentions. They can also blow the whistle to destroy people. So there must be a good balance on that one, that we when the whistle is blown, in the right manner. There must be oversight and fairness.
So analyzing pitfalls to avoid them, that's key in your article. What is one major pitfall Namibia should watch out for first? What is that first thing that we should watch out?
I think the first thing that we should watch out, we should not be in denial. So we should say that what happened in other countries, it can also happen to us. Let me give you a practical example. So when Namibians travel abroad, we become like foreigners when we travel, and we are treated differently. When we are here, we are also treated differently. So, say for example, if I'm at a roadblock, because I'm a Namibian, I can just go through. And then I say, oh, our roadblocks are working. There's no kickbacks, nothing.
Yeah.
But then there could be a foreign national that gets pulled off.
Yeah.
And we don't know the experience that that foreign national is going through. And foreign national can say, well, it was horrible. I was pulled off. I was asked for money.
Mm.
But as a Namibian, I know that I can't be asked for money. But in reality, we also don't have statistical evidence that it happens.
Yeah.
So we work on anecdotal evidence. And so for me, the system works. When I go through, I wave. Maybe when I have a foreign plate, I get pulled off. Mm. And it has happened to me, for example, when I've traveled to some of the neighboring countries that I got pulled off.
Yeah.
And then they asked me all sort of things. And I thought I had everything together. And then you realize actually people want just to get something out of me. So we have to collect more data. We have to be more evidence driven.
Yeah.
We cannot just assume that things are working.
Mm. All right. So and if Namibia doesn't put strong governance structure in place, what are the biggest risk?
So the risk is it's evident. We have so many examples where countries that have that don't have strong governance institutions.
Mm.
And I actually don't want to call it governance institutions. I want to say checks and balances.
Yeah.
There must be checks and balances. If there are no checks and balances, then it can actually just fuel corruption.
Mm.
So we must have confidence that our institutions are working. We must have confidence that if I complain, my complaint has been listened to. It's not just being said, oh, these are just difficult people. They always complain.
Yeah.
We have to take all the complaints serious. Whether it may at the beginning look like it's not a serious complaint, but we have to say, okay, we are going to investigate, we're going to check. But if that doesn't happen, you will develop a culture of fear where people are not reporting.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, we may have then few individuals that are kind of what Namibians call connected. They are thriving. It will actually lead to increased inequalities that we have. So inequality is not just inequality of income and wealth, but inequality is a more broader concept.
Mm.
Inequality is also do we have equal access to people, public official bearers? Do we have equal access to institutions? Do we have equal access to mobility?
Yeah.
And if we don't have those strong institutions, you will find the ability for people to be mobile over time.
Yeah, it
will be diminished, because you want to see a situation where somebody, a domestic worker's child,
mm.
becomes a medical doctor or a lawyer.
Mm.
But if the domestic worker does not have the same access to networks and connections that I have, then the boy or the girl of the domestic worker will's ability to move
yeah.
upwards
mm.
will be reduced.
Yeah.
So for me, planning should start at a lower level. So often, our planning, when we do consultations, it starts at a higher level.
Higher level, yeah. Mm.
And we converge, for example, when we plan, we have nice conferences.
Mm.
And these conferences, they happen in very nice hotels. We have food.
Yeah.
The deeper level consultation on what people used to call grassroots consultation, sometimes that aspect is missing.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned the establishment of the Virtue Fund. What makes a sovereign wealth fund important in this context, and why it is a positive development?
So there are two reasons why it's important to have a sovereign wealth fund.
Yeah.
And for me, the first one is that the resources that we have, they are not going to be there forever.
Mm.
And so we have to find a way to turn that natural resource into a different asset.
Yeah.
And through the sovereign wealth fund, we can do that. So if we have if we take out the oil or the gold or the uranium, after some years, we might not have uranium.
Yeah.
Mm. Or we will not have gold. But if you put part of it in a sovereign wealth fund, then you can say we have transformed that gold into a financial asset.
Yeah.
So that it's not, so that we have sustainability, because extraction is not sustainable.
Mm.
That's number two, number one. But number two is that the resources that we have, it doesn't belong to our generation. It belongs to all the generations that are coming.
Yeah.
So we have to find a way for future generations to also benefit from the current resources.
Mm.
So our children's future should say that we should not have a Coleman's Cup. It's now a museum. We can go there.
Yeah.
But I should say that I still benefit from the diamond resource that was there many, many years ago. So it's for the future generations. And on the sovereign wealth fund, I think it's very important that we must understand this sovereign wealth fund is not for us.
Yeah.
It's even not for our children. It's for the children of our children. Therefore, the sovereign wealth fund in the beginning for the next 30 or 50 years, we should not even take money out of that sovereign wealth fund to spend on something.
Yeah.
We should stay strictly there for the future generations. And when I look at the rules of the sovereign wealth fund, I'm actually happy that it says that even if there's an economic downturn now, a budget deficit, we can't go into the sovereign wealth fund to fund the budget deficit because we don't have the capacity.
Yeah. Mm.
The sovereign wealth fund is less than one billion. So the sovereign wealth fund is not there to fund current expenditure. It's there for the future.
Yeah.
And we those rules must be strictly adhered to.
Yeah.
It's maybe another analogy that somebody once said is we are planting a tree.
Yeah.
And our grandchildren will sit under the shade of the tree.
Of that tree.
So for me, I will not sit under the shade of the tree of the soil, even my son not.
Because it hasn't grown yet. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Even if he has grown, my son, it hasn't grown. So we have to be very protective of the sovereign wealth fund.
Yeah.
And say it must not, the money that goes there, I see there's a misunderstanding. People think, okay, we have this fund and we can use this fund to do certain things.
Yeah.
This fund is the fund for the future. Maybe we should not call it a sovereign wealth fund. I think maybe we should advocate to say the future fund.
Yeah.
The fund for the future.
Yeah, the future fund. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you also argue that oil wealth alone, it doesn't guarantee prosperity. So how do we make sure it creates real jobs and it improve an improvement of people's life?
I think we firstly, when private sector and international investors, they've taken a lot of risk.
Mm.
And I'm glad government did not take that risk. So when the oil comes, then we need to have good rules of engagement.
Yeah.
One of the models that I like is the model that we have with Ecmarine, for example, where there is a tax on royalty.
Yeah.
It's like a rent tax. So even if the company doesn't make a profit, there must still be a tax paid. And then there must be tax paid on if there's a profit.
Mm.
And we need to also look at how can we close certain gaps on declaring profit. So there's one person that's very famous. He was yesterday in the Middle East that doesn't pay tax.
Yeah.
And so we need to make sure that these companies, when they benefit from the rent of our natural resources, that they contribute optimally to the tax collection.
Yeah.
And that, I think, we can do. But then once that's happened, then the question is, what happens to the tax that has been collected?
Mm.
And how does it benefit Namibians? And so here is what is important is transparency.
Yeah.
So I can tell you that Detmarine, for example, so let me not pick Detmarine, but let me just say the diamond industry.
Mm.
They've contributed a lot to the development of human resources into Namibia. But if you have to apportion it, it becomes difficult.
Mm.
So we have to come up also with a way where we can increase transparency. So I need to know, for example, on the uranium taxes, what's happening to that?
Yeah.
And we just know that we export uranium, we see the export figures, we see how much they contribute to tax, but we don't know what's happening to the tax money that has gone to the fiscus. So on natural resources, we should find a way to be more transparent on what's happening.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not like a value-added tax or a general tax. It's a specific tax. And we should be able, for example, to say that when it comes to natural resources, that we must have certain rules.
Yeah.
On tax and how it's, and ring-fence the tax. So
yeah.
In the case of Botswana, when they discovered diamonds, they've said that the tax collected from diamonds must be ring-fenced. It must be spent in a certain manner. And the first rule that Botswana came up with, they said the tax collected from diamonds must not go into current expenditure
mm.
or consumption expenditure. It must only be utilized for investment.
Mm.
But then they realize, okay, what is investment? So they realize that education and health is also investment.
Yeah.
And they said, if diamond revenue also is used to promote education and health, then it will classify as investment.
Yeah.
But all other current expenditure, the diamond revenue cannot go there. It must be saved for future generations.
Yeah.
So natural resources, for me, we should have a similar rule where we say that it must be used for investment, not for consumption, not for paying salaries, but it must be used for building classrooms
mm.
or building hospitals, for getting equipment into the hospitals. And then we find another way to pay the salaries, the remuneration of the teachers and the doctors from other taxes.
All right. So now, how do you view the government's current engagement with with oil companies and investors. There's always a concern in terms of how we engage oil companies and investors. And maybe a follow-up question to that, do you think that Namibian leadership, you know, and I'm not just talking specifically government in terms of, you know, president and ministers, but also officials that engage, you know, do you think Namibia leadership is prepared to tackle the challenges of managing oil wealth?
That's a very difficult question to answer because I'm not there.
I'm
just looking at what I observe. So I see there is a real commitment to engage with investors.
Yeah.
So it has always been there. Even if you look at the recent visit that the president had to the United Nations General Assembly.
Yeah.
He could have just gone there to give a statement, but he used the opportunity also to engage with the private sector, with investors.
Yeah.
And I think that's very good. When it comes to investment promotion, we are doing generally very good when we sell Namibia outside.
Mm.
But I think we have to get more certainty on certain frameworks where investors would like to get more clarity. And I also do think that if we look at an industry, the oil and gas industry, it's an industry, just if one company succeeds, just one company, and there are several. But if this one company decides we have financial closure, the amount of money that will go into unlocking that opportunity will be more than the GDP of the country. So now if that's the case, the question is, on our side in Namibia, do we have sufficient skills, resources, it will engage these oil companies. It's our legal frameworks, because now you start to enter into international law, international agreements, and these guys, if I can give you an example, there's one company that says if this happens, they will have to put in $10 to $15 billion. Now times that to 8.17 at the exchange rate.
Yeah.
So they are willing, if they could address, they're willing to put a lot of human resources behind them.
Yeah.
When you have an agreement, final investment decision, I've seen some of those books. I call them books because they're so detailed.
Yeah.
So I think on our side, I'm not certain, but I think we have to really attract more people, highly skilled Namibians, and even if not Namibians, but people that will fight for the best deal for Namibia to be on our negotiating table. To negotiate with an international company like Total or Shell, these guys have been in the game for more than 65 years.
Yeah. Mm. So now, in your view, what would be signs that Namibia is actually on the right track with its oil management in different phases? Like at the phase where we are, what would be the signs that Namibia is actually on the right track with our oil management?
I think one, we've been communicating quite frequently on the oil management. We have created an environment where the oil companies, they have the confidence to put money in the sea.
If you take an oil company, Shell or Total, they will, when they drill to see this oil, you know how much they spend?
Yeah.
They spent about the equivalent of $1 billion just on to drill.
And drilling, yeah.
And so if there was no confidence, then they would not take at risk to put so much money. They would not even come. So I think they, and this is a question maybe better asked to them, but I think they have confidence in our system. They have confidence in our predictability.
Yeah.
I must say of recent, our messaging on the oil and gas and also vis-a-vis the green hydrogen, it can improve as a nation. Because there are questions that people are asking out there.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the emphasis? Is it oil and gas? Is it green hydrogen? Can they coexist?
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, for example, on the green hydrogen, is that government was always clear this is a nascent industry. We don't expect results overnight.
Yeah.
It will come. But then we need to be a bit more proactive as a nation in shaping the narrative where we are going.
Yeah.
And I do believe these two industries, they can coexist. It's not the one or the other. Incidentally, many of the oil companies, some that are also exploring for oil in Namibia, they are also investing in initiatives of green hydrogen.
Mm.
So these are things that will happen simultaneously.
Yeah.
But I do believe there's need for more clarity and maybe for investors, but also for clarity for me and communication. It's often we communicate to the investors outside, but we don't communicate to the Namibians. We don't communicate to the people where the resources are.
Yeah.
So I think we should also start to talk to ourselves instead of just selling the Namibian narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after all, in Agenda 2063 of the AU, it's called the Africa we want.
We want. Mm.
And so the Africa we want is the Africa where our citizens are engaged, our citizens are informed, our citizens can ask questions, and they should not feel that I can't ask this question.
Mm.
So we need to do more in talking to ourselves as the Namibian people.
Yeah.
Often we talk more to people from outside, which is good because it's marketing and we need to market Namibia.
Yeah.
But we should not forget that there's also our people here in Namibia that we have to talk to.
Yeah.
On economic issues, not just on political issues.
On political, yeah, exactly. And the other way, when looking at also, you mentioned earlier on the resource case, what could be potential warning, what could be the potential warning signs that Namibia is actually slipping? We are now slipping into that resource curse. You know, any warning signs that you may think of that would, you know, tell us that, hey, we are now slipping actually into that resource curse?
I can't think of any off the cuff, but one of it that's a bit concerning for me is if I look at the national debt levels that we have.
Yeah.
I think we are becoming comfortable as a nation to borrow more.
Yeah.
We have, if you look at our national debt to GDP ratio, it's a bit concerning for me. If you just square that debt to GDP ratio per person, then almost every Namibian, and I say every Namibian, not just the head of the household, we are already owing about 60,000, 70,000 to debt. and with higher unemployment, so you can see the debt burden is becoming very heavy. We are spending more on paying debt than we are spending on our health system.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is we have the ability now to fund the debt, because investors, they look at the ability of Namibia to service the debt. You say, okay, the oil is going to come, so it's not so risky. So they give us debt.
Mm.
But I think we should say, just because they give us money, we should be a bit more prudent on the debt management.
Yeah.
And just ask, what are we going to use the debt for?
Mm.
And who's going to repay the debt? That's also important. Because you and I, or at least me, I don't know your age, but I'm not going to
repay. I'm quite old.
Yes, I'm not going to repay the debt, but my son will repay the debt.
Yeah.
Because now so we have to, when we borrow, we're actually now borrowing long term.
Mm, yeah.
So we have to. So it's easy for me. I won't be around when the debt has to be repaid.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to say let's borrow more, and the people that look at Namibia say, oh, Namibia is going to boom. There's oil industry coming. Let's give them money.
Mm.
So we have to reflect on that.
Yeah. Yep. Times we, because of our time, Namibia recognize oil can be both a blessing and a curse. So you use the powerful concept of Harambe, pulling together. So how important is this spirit of unity in ensuring oil becomes a blessing for all Namibians?
I think it's very important. And I want to go back to one of the principles of Agenda 2030 that Namibia subscribed to, which is the UN Agenda 2030. It speaks about sustainable development goals, and it has about 21 goals.
Yeah.
But on top of the goals, there are 5 key principles. And I'm just going to zoom into one. I'm not going to speak on the other 4 principles.
Yeah.
But the one principle of Agenda 2030 that I like is LNOB, leave no one behind.
Yeah.
So when we say leave no one behind, it means that we have to engage our citizens. It cannot be development should not be top-down. It should be bottom-up and top-down at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds confusing. It sounds like I'm contradicting myself. But there must be leadership. But at the same time, there must be also consultations from the bottom.
Yeah.
But we have to engage the citizens. And they have to understand, what does it mean to have conversations on oil and gas? Do we have what we call national consultations on green hydrogen, on this and that? And it I suppose it happens, but I think it can be done better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you
I just in my own circle, and you know I'm an economist, kind of, and. And so when I go out, often people will come to me, and these are people that are already well informed.
Yeah.
And they ask me questions. They say, "Oh, John, what is going to happen to this and that?"
Yeah.
And they don't know.
Mm.
So now if they don't know, and this just in my circle. If they don't know, what about the person that sits in Tsumkwe?
Exactly.
Yes, or the person that sits down in the south, in Dave constituency.
Yeah.
So how do we bring them on board, and how do we say this is the Africa that we want.
Yeah.
This is, yes.
Yeah.
So I think we can do more, much better. We must also, there's something that I looked at, that I thought for some time, we should also be able to communicate in vernaculars.
Yeah.
I think we've neglected that aspect. So yeah, radio is important. So I see in radio we have communication in vernaculars, but on some of the written content, we don't have.
Especially government content, yeah.
Government content. So we need to find ways to connect to every person in Namibia.
Yeah. So you concluded you conclude by saying oil should not define Namibia, but finance its future. So what does that vision look like? What is the ideal future for Namibia, fueled by this oil wealth, but not defined by it?
So let me give a concrete example. If you go to a place called Dubai, so they discovered oil and gas.
Yeah.
Today, Dubai is not known for oil and gas. If you go to Dubai, you can see it's known for tertiary industries. So I think if we can emulate an example like Dubai, where we say that this oil funds that we've transformed it into making Namibia the most attractive place for medical services. Come to Namibia for medical procedures and at the same time also rejuvenate.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things we can use to transform the oil wealth. So we need to look at, we first need to define what is that future Namibia. So there are two things for me in a future Namibia that's exceedingly important. One is we must have top quality education. A person that's trained in Namibia should be able to work anywhere in the world. Conversely, people anywhere in the world will want to come to a university in Namibia because they will say this is a top university. It's like what Singapore did and South Korea. You find that Americans, Europeans, Africans, they want to go and study at a certain school in Singapore. So we should have the ability, the quality of our education should differentiate us. So that's one. Number two is health care. That should also differentiate us. And then, the other one that maybe I will add, will be just the quality of life in general, the safety, the security. So if we can use those oil funds to create that society where Namibia becomes like the Singapore of Africa or the Dubai of Africa or the Switzerland of Africa, we can call it whatever we want to, or Namibia becomes a Chile. In Africa, and we can do it, and Dubai has done it, Singapore has done it, Chile has done it, Taiwan has done it. So there are so many examples. So in Africa currently, Rwanda is very intentional in differentiating itself. Mauritius has just been reclassified to be the first African country that has reached development status according to the classification of the World Bank. So I've been to Mauritius and said, "Oh, Namibia is so much better to be than in Mauritius." I've been to Rwanda. I said, "Wow, I'm so glad that I'm back in Windhoek." So I think we have a lot of good things happening in Namibia. But we need to send out the right signals. We need to be much more intentional in quality education, quality health care. Those are two basics. We have to go to basic things.
Yeah.
We need to invest more in agriculture. It's because our grapes are the best grapes in the world.
Mm.
Our beef is best beef in the world. But look, we don't have enough beef to sell. So the government is now negotiated with the EU, with America, with China, and we, our abattoirs can meet all those standards, but we don't have enough beef to sell to them. So it goes back to improving the productivity of agriculture. So we are able to fulfill those quotas that have been given to us.
Yeah.
It shows we can do it, but we have to invest in agriculture.
Yeah. So, Doctor, any last word that that you deem to be important? Maybe I haven't asked your question on that you deem to be important for our listeners to know. Any last word?
So I think my last word is just I want to differentiate again between the Dutch disease.
Yeah.
And a disease is a sickness.
Mm.
So I call it an economic sickness.
Yeah.
So we have to be wary about that economic sickness, and we must treat not the symptom, but we have to treat the cause. So this sickness is caused by resources that we get.
Mm.
So and it's not only the oil resource that we get. We see there one gold mine coming up, there are new uranium mines coming up. And that's good. It's good for investment.
Yeah.
But it can weaken other parts of the economy. In real terms, our exchange rate is probably stronger than it should be.
Yeah.
People look at the nominal exchange rate, but in real terms, today I read an article, it was released by the Namibia Statistics Agency that says it you pay 350 Namibia dollars for a kilogram of biltong. Mm. It is expensive.
Yeah.
So that's the one. The other one I want to say in a final word is we have to look at how this oil and gas will change our society.
Mm-hmm.
And our politics. And here we need to look in particular into how will it lead to increased corruption?
Mm-hmm.
What will happen to inequality? And will it affect our institutions? Will our institutions be strong enough to withstand these inflows that will come from oil and gas? I don't have the answer. I'm just raising the questions.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying we have to be open-minded that there could be a weakening of institutions. Definitely on the Dutch disease, we already see that Namibia, in my view, is suffering from the Dutch disease, not because of oil and gas, but because of the other resources that we've had. We've not been able to diversify the economy. And with oil and gas, it will.
All right. That has been about 60 minutes. All right. That's not how I'm going to end. I'm just going to call him and then just end our discussions. All right.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Omudiha, utekirokaguna, I matina, omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana, longeshifa, ya, ishiwike moshiwana. I moyawo, otaingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa, ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa onjika. Zeitha nina omaya kuro mirandi toma yoe yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarajeta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari jamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Doctor, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I didn't want us to conclude it that way. So just finalize the word you were saying, and then we definitely conclude then. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying that we have to be wary about both the Dutch disease.
Yeah.
And I think I'm more concerned about the Dutch disease because I think we already suffer from the Dutch disease.
Yeah.
Our economy is not diversified. On the oil curves, I'm less worried, but with the oil curves, I will treat it like approaching a green traffic light.
Yeah.
It's for me easier to approach a red traffic light than a green traffic light, because the green traffic light can turn red quickly.
Yeah.
So right now, for us, we, on the oil curves, in terms of the strength of our institutions, it's like a green traffic light.
Mm.
But if we are not going to be careful, that green traffic light can turn into red just as you cross the intersection.
Yeah.
So we have to ensure that the oil blessing will not undermine the quality. And I want to stress the quality of our institutions, because I believe the evidence is there that Namibia has strong governance institutions, the rule of law is applied, sometimes not efficiently, too slow.
Yeah.
But it does happen in Namibia. We have the rule of law. We have our judiciary that's very strong. But we must make sure that, this oil wealth will actually strengthen our institutions and not undermine our institutions.
All right. So, Dr. Stetler, so this has been really a fascinating discussion, and your insight really shine a light on how we can make this oil discovery work for all of us, and avoiding the pitfalls as we discussed, and building something sustainable. So thanks so much for joining us on Unpacking the Day and sharing your expertise, and we appreciate you taking time. Thank you, thank you again for joining us today.
Thanks, sir. Have a good day.
Same to you. All right, and that. And that was Dr. John Stapler, founding member and the managing director of R&J Stapler, unpacking crucial, issues surrounding Namibia oil discoveries. All right. So you can pick up your phone and come through. We still have some few minutes. And we may carry this tomorrow if so many of you come through. So, we heard about the immense potential, the risk of the resource curse, and the vital importance of good governance, diversification, and investing in our people. So let's keep the conversation going, Namibia, because our future depends on us getting it this right. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm okay, too. We're having a very fruitful discussion.
Yeah, so we need to be prepared when it comes to oil and gas. And we need to sensitize people. We need to get all the experts, to give us their opinion of where we are, what we're doing, and how do we handle this. Yeah,
which is true.
Mm.
because one is inherited a lot of things really, and we look at when it comes to Dutch disease.
Yeah.
Which really, I'm telling you, is like affecting us all the area of the country, because we are talking about even education, talk about even health. You talk about the well-being of our people, social being, nothing's been taken care.
Yeah.
And it's very awesome when you are having a population where you need to say, this part we are doing better. It's a problem, really. And the thing is that I think we have to also to come up with this. That the funds, I think it's a very big fund you guys are talking about.
Yeah. Also, we talked about that as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think is a good thing, because I'm telling you as a country, we cannot just try to deplete our natural resources. At the end of the day, we are going to collapse out. These things also we need to start piling up our uranium, gold, you name it, diamond. Because once we're having it now, in the near future, the next generation,
it's kind of like a future safety net, you know?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because it's like we want to die without leaving anything.
Yeah. If we leave from hands to mouth, extractive, you know, mining and even when oil and gas, this will come to an end at one point, you know?
Exactly.
And you have to have some kind of safety net that, you know, that would bail you out.
I'm telling you, and that's what I think we need.
Yeah.
Because we look at that country, I'm telling you, we never learn from the other country. Just look at the UK. UK, they don't even have a mind when it comes to gold, but they're having a lot of gold piled up. Because they are trying to get it somewhere and where they end. But for us, it's like we don't really have anything. Even we talk about it, like, you know, Angolans, they are poor, but they're enjoying their oil.
Are they enjoying their oil?
Yeah, we have fish here. Mm. What we know is Masbangra, and Masbangra is expensive, isn't it? What else you can make you that you are to be a proud Namibian?
Yeah. That's a lot. Come on, Mandela. Yeah. That's a lot that we are really proud of.
No, of being Namibian. Apart from ID, what else? I'm telling you. You cannot tell me that, okay? We are eating our manga and everything with those expensive fish. No.
Yeah.
Some of them we are dying without even tasting it.
Yeah, so we're about to start even, you know, a university for free. I mean, come on. So those
things are happening recently. I'm proud for the new cabinet, especially the president. Really, you can see things are moving.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, so
but
there are certain, of course, it doesn't mean we shouldn't be speaking about other things that are not going well, but yeah, there are things that are happening. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm also in agreement that, like, when he's saying we need the new people who know how to negotiate.
Yeah.
When it comes to our resources. Because I'm telling you, cannot tell me in the resources we are getting 5% in the resource which is yours. And because now the investor saying, no, I put so much money and what.
Yeah.
I don't take it or leave it.
As he said,
I want 30%.
These are people who have been in industry for 60-something years. And over 2 years ago, you have no idea how the industry works, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, let me give you the last person to call.
Yeah, no. So thanks for coming through.
All right, Nate.
Great. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So you're most welcome. So we had a really, really... sometimes it's good to just get the information. So it's not always that we want listeners callers to come in. But sometimes it's when you get somebody. So I always sometimes these people are not are not easy to get. You know, sometimes they are not really 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 easy to get. You follow them up many times to be able to get them, and when you get them, make use of every questions that you have in your mind. And
So it's unfortunate because most of these people are in Windhoek. You would love to have them in a studio on this side. We are in the north and much of these people are in Windhoek. And we would like then people coming, calling in and questioning them and all that. That would be a very good thing to do.
Unpacking the day. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good. Yeah, no, it's good. It's, there are really room for improvement.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Serious kind of logical approach.
Yeah.
To improve and revamp our laws, our legal framework.
Yeah.
And that has to do with also economic policies and issues of that nature. But yes, it's true. We also need to sell, to seriously send a good message outside there, like the doctor is saying.
Yeah.
And that, yes, Namibia offer more opportunity, especially when this time when people are really collaborating.
Mm.
To complement each other's efforts where we are lacking behind so other people can come in. I think we can really make make progress.
Yeah, no, definitely. And we are making progress. It's not that we're not making progress. We are making progress.
Exactly. Yeah. Only that sometimes the way we portray ourselves, it also discourages some other people. Because other people, when they come here, I always interact with many people. They say, you guys, so you should really be proud of yourselves. Other countries and this and that, but when you really compare, so you discover that, of course, we are really making progress. I think we just need to work more hard.
Yeah.
And capitalize on those emerging opportunities. To see how we can, especially when it comes to funding.
Mm.
So people are now being funded and things like that. So, thank you very much, Mike. Man.
Thanks for coming through.
Good.
Very good morning. We still have about 5 minutes before we hand over to Windhoek. And, we have earlier on the... we talked about the Africa continental free trade area, that it's actually becoming a reality in terms of many countries actually starting to trade under this system, and which is actually a good thing. But, however, we also looked at what are the challenges coming when it comes to the free trade, the Africa free trade, the inter-trade. Africa inter-trade, what are the challenges? And we look at some of those. So, yeah, and we then have discussion with Dr. John Stadler, really looking at the immense potential and also, they're just not the immense potential, but also the risk. Of the, as he has been emphasized, the resource curse, which he explained as well, and Dutch disease, and the vital importance of good governance, diversifications, and investing in people, because we need skilled capital, to be able to navigate. To navigate in this industry. So we still have about 4 minutes. Our telephone number is always 333-6609. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. As I said, I would love most of these people are in Windhoek. I would love that we have people here. Much of these people, most of these important people are around here, and we bring them in the studio live. I think that's the disadvantage. It's not that we don't have people on this side that we can bring in, but sometimes on this, you would like to have a person in the studio, and you guys can come through and ask questions that you have as well. Yeah, so I will decide one time. I'll probably go for Windhoek for a month so that we have actually a show from Windhoek side. Yeah, so yeah. It's, what's the time? 2 minutes. 2 minutes left to the hour of 10 when we hand over to Tate France with Kutha Mosha. So another very informative programs that will be coming your way, and make sure that you stay tuned for that, and many, many, many other programs that are also that are coming through the course of the day today. So, all right. When we come back, I say my goodbyes for now. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Shikawa shafaa sana nana longe shifaa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe, yonge shifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo lengira selma kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oliyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, and a very good morning, and actually a goodbye. It's like that moment where you just good morning, goodbye. Yeah. So, yes, we have come to the end of unpacking the day today. Today's episode of Unpacking the Day, and yeah. So make sure that the conversations that we have don't stop and don't end up here. Have this conversation in your circles. In your office, in your home, at a dinner table, lunch hours, with your friends, with your family, you know. So, yeah, make it a conversation, you know, have a conversation on these issues. And, that's how we grow. And that's how we one teach one, you know, who like this is June, who's that? One teach one or what? I can't remember exactly the saying. So that he said. So please make sure that, you continue, tuning in for the programs that are coming up, right away. It's Mr. Franz coming up with Kutha Mosha. And for me, Mike, Oshoveli, I will talk to you tomorrow. We'll see each other again tomorrow. So for me, it's a goodbye for now.